Greetings, my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. Living together requires empathy and compassion. Though not sufficient, they are necessary to families and communities, nations, and to other social species. In her Pulitzer Prize-winning book, The Hemingses of Monticello, Annette Gordon Reed has written about a very American family. We know about them mostly because of Sally Hemings' 40-year relationship with Thomas Jefferson.
Lust is not what keeps people together after a certain point. There must be some other kind of connection, and this is a connection. If you just go by the range of her childbearing, we're talking 20 years here. I mean, but certainly as his chambermaid. And the other thing is, you typically don't, if a person is sort of in this sort of a casual relationship with someone, it's not like you want that person in your life every day. And she would have been in his life every day as his chambermaid. Her children are named for people who were important to him. If you put their names, intermix them with his grandchildren's names, you wouldn't know who was whom because they all fit. They all make sense. So from his perspective, there must have been some attachment. Whether I call that, you know, love in the sense that we know it, I mean, I don't know. But I have no problem saying that he was attached to her. The other question is, I mean, she seems to have been a completely lovable person. I wouldn't know why that would not be a possibility. Certainly a possibility. From her perspective, you know, as I said, once she comes back to America, she's under his control. I do say at the end, the only gesture that she makes is to take some of his possessions with her when she leaves Monticello, eyeglasses, shoe buckles, because Monticello, everything was sold at Monticello because he lost everything. And she gives them to her children, which suggests to me that this was something that she wanted them to remember.
Presidential scholar Annette Gordon Reed teaches law at New York Law School. She is the author of Vernon Can Read, a memoir co-authored with Vernon Jordan, and Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings, an American controversy. Ms. Gordon Reed's narrative of the rich and complex relationships between Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson and among the Hemingses and their various legal masters enriches our understanding of America's culture, politics, and people. Annette Gordon Reed, I often think about American history. I live in it, I live it, I live forward into that which we are making. And Bill and I regularly reflect on how what we learned in school has a sense of cartoon to it. It's so reduced, it's so sometimes just desiccated that you have kind of stick figures. I was absolutely fascinated with the Hemingses of Monticello to think about what must have pulled you to do this much work to flesh out these would-be stick figures to make them real not only for me, but for you as well.
Well, it's something that I've long wanted to do because I've always been interested in slavery and the institution of slavery. And most of the time when you read about enslaved people, they are more of an abstract concept than actual people. And I think one of the ways you can get people to, well, human beings are interested in other human beings.
Yes.
And one of the ways you can get people to make a connection is to tell them something about another person. You can always dismiss people, even mistreat people. It's easier to do it when the person is the other. It's some unknown abstract concept out there. So I thought that it would be a good idea, since Jefferson has lots of records, he was an inveterate record keeper, somewhat compulsive about doing that, to try to bring out the lives of individual people, enslaved people, to get people to care about them. And when you care about them, you know, you care about how other people write about them, you have a sense of connection, and you have empathy, not pity. Empathy requires a connection, and it's hard to make the connection if you don't know anything about somebody. So that's what I wanted to do.
And having somebody who's been gone that long and who is just so central to the American myth, to the American reality, to the American touch into the world, I can't think of anybody else in all of American history. And obviously, you picked very carefully, too. Were there any first runner-ups?
Not really, no. No, not for me, no. Because it's such a central figure in all of American history, had his hand in so many different aspects of it. You can talk about so much about American history through Jefferson and Monticello, slavery, race, Native Americans, religion, government, you name it. And I try to think of someone, and you really can't. I can't.
He also embodied
Franklin, perhaps.
I wondered about Franklin. Yeah.
But Franklin was in some ways less American than Jefferson. Franklin was very old at the time of the founding. He lived most of his life as an Englishman. Jefferson lived most of his life as an American. Started out as an Englishman and became an American. So, in a sense, Franklin is more cosmopolitan. He is not himself as central to the sort of American mythology. And he died, you know, before the early American Republic got going. So Franklin, in terms of his multifaceted nature, is fascinating. But he's not, it's still not Jefferson.
And he wasn't a slaveholder.
He was not a slaveholder. He was not, well, I think there may have been one or two people, but he was not a plantation owner. He was not a Southerner, and he was not caught up in that system in the same way.
He was also not an enthusiast for slavery the way that Jefferson seemed to have been. Jefferson also, to me, is interesting. I find every time I read about Jefferson, I change my mind. And part of it is he embodies so many of the contradictions we're still living with in this country. I mean, there's not just with respect to race, to slavery, but also with respect to government, the role of government, the role of states, just the whole thing. And I find myself, in fact, Edward Larson wrote a book, I guess a year or so ago, on the election of 1800.
1800, yes.
That is just a fascinating tour through America then and America now, the conflict between Adams and Jefferson.
And he calls it a magnificent catastrophe.
Over government, how we should govern ourselves. So Jefferson...
but the only thing that he has, I mean, the consistency that people sort of want in a figure that you're writing about, when you write about somebody in the past, I think that there is a tendency to want to make them all fit, to be coherent, and he's no more coherent than... we are, really. It's just that there are bigger issues. I mean, on the issue of religion, I think that's the one point where you don't see for him this equivocation. People try to say that there was equivocation, but he was pretty clear about the need to separate religion from the state and to leave a private sphere. And his skepticism, I mean, he was quiet about his skepticism about, you know, religion because... you know, obviously, you know from that book, I mean, the cry was when Jefferson's elected, there's going to be incest and everybody's going to be, you know,
because he wasn't a religionist.
Because he was not a religious person. You know, if somebody says you don't believe in the divinity of Christ, which he did not, I mean, you can imagine a person like that, he couldn't win election today if he were to say that, quite obviously.
We'll be back in just a moment looking at some more of those contradictions when we return with Annette Gordon Reed. Be with Bill Russell, me, Paula Gordon, and I can't say doctor, Professor Gordon Reed, who is also a lawyer. I could call you Gordon Reed Esquire. We'll be right back.